Am I a wild boy? Am I someone that likes to have fun? Yes. Do I like to dance and be celebratory about my love for Jesus? Yes.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Kirk, your time is short, and I'm grateful for the time. So I've heard you say a lot over the years that the church should be a hospital, not a country club. So I'm asking for the hospital Kirk Franklin, not the country club version. I mean, you're always honest and quite brutal sometimes, I think. So that's the one I'm looking for in this conversation, if you don't mind.
Okay.
So recently, talking to Sway Calloway, maybe about a month ago, you said you've been in therapy since your early 20s and still go twice a month. What's the one thing you're working on right now in therapy that your fans would be really surprised by? And how's it shaping your leadership in this season of your life?
Well, I think that what has happened for me is that there have been things over the last few years that trigger past traumas. Also, along with that, it seems very trivial, maybe to some, what I'm about to say, but it is a reality that most can go through and experience, where whatever level of what culture and what society would deem is what they would determine success. Like it can be success you getting a raise at your job, or it can be success you moving into another neighborhood. That the term people call success can be some it's relative, right? It doesn't have to be based on one person's life. Yeah, I mean, every human will experience certain levels of success, and a lot of times, if you get a raise on your job, you may experience new levels of anxiety or fear, or it may trigger, trauma that you don't feel good enough, that you may not feel educated enough. You know what I mean? Or you may not feel spiritual enough. So a lot of times, people don't realize that even certain levels of success, any level of success, can also be something that can trigger traumas. Does
So
that make sense?
it does. So when you talk about shrinks being people who their job is to minimize
Minimize.
issues, for you, what that analogy is quite powerful actually, because it's very visual. What recent moment have you needed someone to minimize for you?
Well, and then I also think that people are also aware that not only is there this constant state of, am I gospel enough for the community? Is he spiritual enough? I think about it. My whole entire career has been questioned about my spiritual integrity from Stomp on. I've always seemed to be someone who, that there's always been questions about my heart before the Lord, which has always been hard for me, because my love for Jesus, my love for his church, my love for his people is paramount in everything that I do. I mean, am I a wild boy? Am I someone that likes to have fun? Yes. Do I like to dance and be celebratory about my love for Jesus? Yes. Yes. Was I raised on gospel music? No, I was raised on hip hop. I was raised on urban music. And do I want to have gospel music have the best sound and production and sonics and visuals? I'm representing the creator of the universe. Of course I do. Have you ever looked at the stars in the sky? That's one of the most beautiful productions that can ever be put together. Why would I, as a son, want to not represent my father in the same way? So, what I do for a living, for not for living, sorry, for ministry, which is also for
Yes.
living, brings a certain level of trauma. But then also, over the last 5 years, there's been COVID. COVID brought a level of trauma into my life. The issue with my son brought a certain level of trauma in my life. Finding out that the man who I thought was my biological father, that wasn't my biological father, and a new father, and then having to be re re engaged with a mother that abandoned me. Those have been all traumas. I mean, so it's like it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Things have
So
not stopped, and so.
let's talk about the ministry one. I'm not sure how many people would know. Most people know you for your music and your creatives, but I think I remember vaguely you exploring some pastoring faith. I think Faithful Central used to be there.
Youth
You used to be
pastor.
there. Yeah.
I used to be
So
that loot you that y'all loved it, loved it,
this
loved it.
ministry thing, you've got a good 360 on it, and you've called it golden handcuff. It's a term known in the circles as something that you embrace, knowing that there are pressures with it, so I wondered what boundaries you've consciously put in place. I mean, you've just talked about some of the things you have to endure as the kind of artist you are, which a lot of people, have some thoughts on. But clearly, you've learned how to put boundaries in, and I just wonder what boundaries have you consciously put in place this year to stop ministry from stomping on you.
Well, and I do want to clarify the imagery of the golden handcuffs. What I was talking about is that for most Christians, they are not weighed down with their faith also being intertwined with their occupation. They're able to be believers and to go through what believers go through without being put in a microscope or have a spotlight that is always focused on them as they're trying to live out their Christianity. Most people get a chance to live their Christian life outside of the spotlight. But when Christianity is also your career, a lot of pressures and judgments can be challenging because you are being transformed into his image. You are not fully in the image of Christ. And so that transformation, sanctification process, you have to do it on a stage. And that can be challenging.
Right.
But for me, I also understand that to whom much is given, much is required. I do not ever want to come across like it's a complaint because I am honored. I am honored to serve the Lord and honored that the Lord would loan me songs and ideas that I can use to make the kingdom known in the earth. I mean, I'm humbled. I
And
love.
Kurt, Kurt, I understand that, but I also understand that, just like all of us, you're human, a human being, and so when unkind were people say unkind things, it can be traumatic to the
Painful.
soul.
It can be
So how
painful.
do you then what how do you then put boundaries around, so that is it that you stop yourself reading newspapers, reading comments, or how
You try not to read, but in your fallen nature, you still stumble on something that you read, a caption or something because, it's because, it's almost like, even though it may have been rhetorical when Christ said, who do men say that I am? There's also an awareness, one to make sure, okay, is the music connecting? Is the message connecting? So sometimes you look to see if what you're doing is connecting with people, if it's speaking to people's hearts, and then you'll read something that's not the most favorable. You read something that is not, you do too much, you run around too much, you jump too much. And, I haven't stopped jumping, I haven't stopped dancing, but so some things that people say, oh yeah, it's hurtful. It's painful, and you have to take it, and I think it's more hurtful and painful, and then especially when you come from a place that I come from. I mean, I'm a very sensitive man. I'm extremely sensitive, so I'm sensitive to the thoughts and views of people because, I want to do good. I want people to really feel what I say and mean and believe. I mean, I'm not a man that doesn't care. I care. Care
Right.
deeply, so.
So let's talk a bit about your views on theology and history and things like that. When you were doing the run for your second season of Good Words podcast. You talking to, I think it was Joshua Dudley of Forbes magazine. You won't remember these things because you do so many of them, but you know, I've got receipts, as they say in your country. You said Western Christianity and the teachings of Jesus are not synonymous.
Facts.
Now, the question is, in your journey in unpacking that, what are some of the doctrines that you've had to let go of, and what are some that you've had to recover or reclaim personally?
Well, I think that Reformed theology, some would call it Calvinism. There are areas that God is more concerned about us resting in his perfect work, which is grace. Grace, what we do not deserve or could ever earn, versus the performance of I got to make sure that I am right before God. That there's a lot of emphasis on what I need to do and the things that are part of the systemic or systematic executions that a lot of Christians lean into, that they think that at times can also make them righteous. That you are more righteous if you are this. Like one of the examples I use is that within our culture, we have often made people that are not married within the framework of Christianity not look like they are usable by the kingdom unless you are married, because we've made marriage almost synonymous with salvation, where just by sheer numbers there's not enough men to women in the ratio. So we have not done a good job of making single people believe and understand that they're still usable in the kingdom, that there's a place for them in the kingdom, that God wants to use them just as much and has value on you if you're single as much and even more. But it's if you're listening to Paul said, I wish that some of you were not married so that you could be fully committed like me. But we have made certain cultural norms, these are the prerequisites that we would say that will deem us a certain posture before the presence of God. Not true. It is not true. We're
So,
saved by grace and by faith and grace alone.
when you yourself, when you, and I've heard you before, explore thoughts around African fathers, you know, Tertullian, Augustine, and Mark.
Yes, yes, yes.
How has but you grew up in America. You're a Western man, but
Yeah.
how has embracing that story reshaped your worship language, especially when you're recording or when you're in the studio, when you're live? Has the embracing of the African fathers and their vista on the Holy Book, has that
Yes.
affected your language of worship?
Historical truth has given so much more gravity to my Christian pilgrimage. My Christian sojourn has been enlightened and enhanced, and there's been a fire that has been put up under it over the last decade and a half, when there has been a certain level of academia that has been contributed to my Christian experience, because unfortunately, Christianity in America has come with many, many, many vices that have not always allowed the true teachings of Jesus Christ to be free to flow to the hearts and minds of belief, hearts and minds of believers. Christianity in America can be not only polarized, but its incestuous relationship with politics and government in America, for people of color, historically has been problematic, and it can be a great challenge. And so when you realize these truths that, just the simple truth of Europe did not influence Africa, no doubt unapologetically influenced Europe when it comes to the historical teachings and truths of the historical Jesus, 3 centuries before, three centuries before Constantine. So all of these truths for me Now the music is not just an emotional experience because I'm a black person that was taught the white man's religion that came up on the boats, and that now I am blind to the truth. It's like, oh, there's so much gravity and depth of understanding of historical Jesus when I now sing about him. That now this truth comes to life because the same gospel that was used to enslave us, it's now the same gospel that is used to free us. No other people on the planet has that narrative when it comes to their journey and the matriculation of faith. There is not one race of people that has that same experience. It's because what happened in the Holocaust was not Judaism was not used as a weapon against Jews. It was used as a racist weapon against Jews, unfortunately. And unfortunately, so many people were killed and destroyed by the ugliness of the hate crimes. But black people, we were taught a religion, and that religion was weaponized against us. Scriptures were flipped, and certain chapters were taken out. Like, when you hear about the slave Bible and how certain books were torn out so that the slaves would not know about their freedom. No other group of humans on the planet have that story.
This August in Premier Christianity magazine, we dive into justice, music, and football. Lawyer Janice Machemi talks about campaigning for the powerless, worship leader Pat Barrett on Christian music's big comeback, and Premier League legend John Bostock, who leads Ballers in God. Subscribe for 12 months at $44.99 and receive a free copy of Inspired, the best-selling book by Simon Gilbo. Sign up at premierchristianity.com.
So, Kirk, let's make a bit of a gear change to you talked about academia, and one of the greatest minds for quite a few of us in terms of doctrine theology is Dr. Tony Evans, who you consider a spiritual father. And in an article, I think it was way back in 2017, with Vyson and Cunningham, who I think spent some time and did some interviews with you, asked about you giving Tony Evans full access to you as a father, as a spiritual leader. Now, what's the hardest correction Tony Evans ever given you? And what, here's the thing, what changed the week after that correction?
He did not acquiesce to the narrative of what in the culture would be special treatment to people that society may deem as celebrity or what other type of definition people would use. That was not the culture of the church. That was not the culture of he himself. So there was no special treatment. Even when there are times that I remember one time I made a request for something, and he said no. He said no, you're going to do like everybody else. I was like 30 years old. I was 30 and still young, and he's like no. And so and he's been consistent that way. Like it wasn't just every now and then. It was consistently a man who was committed to making sure that there was a light that I had to subject to.
Now, the moment with the doves where you stood up and you boycotted because you wanted a message to be heard. Tony Evans stood with you, and then it's been you've been quite open about him standing with you through family issues in terms of being there and covering. What does that feel like on the inside? Because we look at it from the outside, but for you on the inside, how would you describe that experience of a father type being in that with you?
hope. It just gives you hope. It just lets you know that you are tracking in the right direction. It's because he is not an individual that would ever align himself with some foolishness. And so, knowing that he has been willing to stand alongside of you in certain areas of your life just gives more credence to those areas in your life. And so, that has been the very beautiful thing for me.
Now, his. I'm gonna try and scoot through to the end so I don't keep you too much longer. What his it, my wife has his Tony Evans's Bible and commentary. Actually, I bought them for her, and I'm sure you're familiar with them, partly because of some of the things you've said about the fathers, because he highlights the African presence in the Bible unapologetically. Now, how did his courage in doing that affect you, Kirk, on as a reader, as a a member of the church, as a disciple, as an artist who's out there on the forefront?
Well, what I can tell you that what I'm very proud of is that, and that he would say to you also is that I was blessed to also help influence him. Is that it was me who made a lot of these things something that I was hammering down constantly, that you need to talk about this, you need to do this, you need to do that. It was something he was very much aware of, but I made him more aware of how the culture needed it more, just because of our relationships and posture within culture. He was not aware of sometimes the 911 call for certain paradigmatic shifts of themes and messaging. And so it was me that was like, no, Pop, you need to hammer down in on this. This is where the streets are. This is what they talk about in the barbershops. This is what's happening on a college campuses. These are some of the things that we need to be addressing with young black people. They need to be aware that it's not the white man's religion, that they need to be aware of the gravity of the historical truth of their Christian fundamentalist knowledge and DNA of what it is they believe in, who they believe in.
So Kirk, please bear with me just a couple more. I can't finish this conversation without talking about Den of Kings. And I had a number of questions, but there's one in particular that I want to shoot at you. In the episode with Tyler Perry and Derek Hayes, I watched that and I thought, I wonder what moment in that episode, if you remember all of it, Kirk, what moment would you say you would like replayed in every church leadership training session?
I don't know if there's a specific moment as much as it is the overall, the overarching narrative of people and faith need to understand that that kingdom come, that God wants to also see the kingdom manifested in the earth, that we should not be so busy with our heads to heaven that we're not impactful while we're on the earth. And the universal language that is primal in everyone's life is the language of being able to be a financial blessing to oneself, one's family, and to others. It creates the gate and the door. Now, we should not worship it. It should not be the priority. It is a space of, if I'm able to provide for my family, if I'm able to keep lights on for myself, it gives me the wherewithal to be able to also want to be impactful in the greater scope and the greater knowledge. It's because if you are a Christian banker, imagine the influence you can have over commerce. If you are a Christian attorney, imagine the impact that you can have. So the more people that have a opportunity to be able to financially provide for themselves and to be able to engage within the bigger framework of society, we are able to replicate the message and the messengers of those that represent the kingdom.
So Kirk, like I said, I'm racing to the end. When you talk about survivor's guilt and things like that, again, there were a number of questions I had for you, and hopefully some other day we get to explore them. But here is one line I would be grateful if you can finish for me. I don't want my kids to see Jesus as the guy who kept dad away anymore. So now I.
So now I work hard, or I worked hard at that time to make sure that there was enough balance and enough conversation that when I was not present, that their feelings, their thoughts, and their views were able to be heard and processed so that they saw me as a partner and not a nemesis of their faith.
Kirk Franklin, some quick answers from you on this. You always talk about your joy under attack. What are you protecting your joy from this quarter? A quick answer.
Myself.
Okay. A belief you publicly repented of that's unlocked fresh creativity in you.
That God hates me and that I have to perform for his acceptance.
Okay, one prayer you pray for you always talk about praying for those who've hurt you. One prayer you pray for your enemies right now, for real, for real, for real, that you pray for your enemies. Because you said, where I come from, this is how we pray. Father, kill them, fall down, die. So one prayer that you're praying for your enemies right now, for real.
Mine is to give me real time experience of forgiving them and letting go, because keeping hold of it is pride. Because scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
A lyric you wish you could rewrite and why?
Not one.
What would make you content? You talk about growing with the mic, but what would make you content to hang up the mic tomorrow?
Taking my last breath on this side of heaven.
You take it serious, don't drop the mic. And
Everything.
what young artist are you intentionally stepping aside for this year and painting? You mentor a lot. I mean, I spoken to I just a few days ago I spoke to Chandler. I mean, we didn't get to see as we planned, but he speaks of you very warmly. What young artist are you intentionally stepping aside for that and what that you open doors for?
Chandler, I would say, is one of my favorite ones. Chandler's very close to me, but I'm open to opening up any door that anyone ever, if anyone ever wants my help and needs my help, I'm always trying to help. I'm always trying to be a conduit in any way that I can.
Kirk Franklin, thank you so much for your time.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.